destruction. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on another sweltering summer afternoon. Bill here in the studio. Dan is on his way. He will be in shortly. Got into a little fender bender yesterday and was just getting some estimates. Wasn't his fault. So he's getting that taken care of. He will be in here in just a little while. We were both over at the Waltos Performance Center a little earlier today. I was there and got a chance to watch practice. As much as we got. Yesterday we had an extended period, had nearly an hour where we could watch practice yesterday. Today it was only about 20 to 25 minutes, and mostly team drills. There was not any 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 today, but still some interesting things that we can talk about from watching practice. And then around lunchtime, we had the opportunity to talk with some of the players. And a couple of the players that were made available are the two newest scholarship members of the team. That would be running back Jason Jones and safety Griffin Speaks, from right here at Auburn High. And we'll let you hear some of the comments. I thought Griffin was great, talking about, you know, his road there and to where he is right now. So was Jason. But I think Griffin figures into playing time at least early on because there's so much inexperience in the secondary, especially at safety. I wouldn't be surprised. Yesterday it looked like he was running number two at the safety behind Jaron Bug Thompson. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him out there. He was on pretty much every special team a year ago. So we'll let you hear some audio from him in just a little while. And we've got Jason Jones as well. Other players that we had an opportunity to talk with, Jarquez Hunter, and Dan got the extended version of that. I sat with Jarquez for about 5 or 6 minutes till a couple of other players came in. And since he was recording it as well, he's got about 15 or maybe even more minutes with Jarquez. And then, we also had a chance to spend some time with Luke Deal and Jalen McLeod. So we've got plenty of audio we can air for you here this afternoon on The Drive. We'll talk a little more about our thoughts of what we've seen the first couple of days of practice. Again, like I said, wasn't any 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. Once again, Peyton Thorne looked sharp. Really did look sharp. And, man, it was hot. It was, again, I mean, it has been just brutally hot. No breeze at all. It's one of those things when you first step out, it's like, oh, it's hot, but it's not bad. But like 30 seconds later, you realize, oh, it's the humidity is just really, really tough. They're doing a great job of keeping the players hydrated, making them take, breaks for water or whatever liquids that they have. And, you know, Dan was talking yesterday about a couple of the managers or assistants that were running around and would wring towels with cold water over the players' heads. So they're doing everything they can, and they were out for a while before they it is great that they have that new indoor facility. I mean, even with the doors open, I'd hate to think about what the electric bill would be after seeing mine for this past month, but you know, they can afford it. But I mean, that place stays very comfortable. And you will notice that a lot of the folks that are viewing practice will stand over near the doorways of that to get the blast of the air conditioning on them as they're watching the practice. But one thing that, couple of things that I wanted to check and see if it was looked the same as yesterday, and indeed was the case. Amaris Williams working more with – he worked with the defensive ends the whole time we were there. It looks like he has grown into a defensive end from a buck. And Laquan Robinson, the junior college transfer who came in as a highly touted safety, spent the entire time again today at linebacker. So it looks like he is a Will linebacker, and that really gives them four deep. I was impressed by Robert Woodyard, the third-year sophomore, who has really – let's see, can you let Dan in? He should be able to punch his way in. He's good. Who I thought really stepped it up toward the end of the spring, and looks like right now he and Dorian Mousey are the backups to Eugene Asante and Austin Keys. So I thought it's good to see Robert Woodyard, who got some praise at the end of the spring, continuing to get work with the second team. And then the other players are newcomers either to Auburn or to the position, and that would be Fanage Gote, the transfer from Maryland, the two freshmen, DeMarcus Riddick and DJ Barber, and Laquan Robinson. So you've got four guys that are running with the first two teams there at linebacker, and then four other talented. But, Fanage Gote is just learning the Auburn system and the terminology and everything. And then you've got two freshmen and a former safety, the other linebackers. But they've got eight really good-looking linebackers.
We had speculated on Laquan Robinson as one of the candidates to be the safety next to Bug Thompson. Instead,
yeah,
it seems as though Laquan Robinson, and some folks have speculated Terrence Love could one day make a move like this in his Auburn career.
He's still at safety right now, but he is a big safety.
He's a huge. No, he's one of the bigger safeties in team history, isn't he? I mean, he's a very big.
Well, Zion was 230.
Zion was a big safety too. Eric Brock wasn't all that small, if I remember correctly, Bill.
Right.
Like he also finished his career.
I don't think he was close to 230.
No, but I think he finished his career as a linebacker, didn't
That's
he?
True.
He's another guy who not to pull a name from the. I wish Don Dunn were here. I think he'd be proud of a. I think he'd be proud of a random Eric Brock reference on the show, but. And I think it's interesting, and it feels like football is moving towards you. Look, you certainly want players like Champ Anthony, but I think there's also a need for hybrid safety linebacker, edge rusher, corner types, right? Guys who can maybe do any of those things in a pinch, especially as wide open offenses and 60 to 65% passing attacks rule the day in college football. I mean, you need hard-nosed linebackers who hold up against the run, but guys who are liabilities in coverage at almost – like, if you're a liability in coverage, Bill, it's tough to play you anywhere but on the defensive line, right? Like,
absolutely.
Whether you're a linebacker or a corner or – and so it's almost like, could you see a scenario where at all of these positions – edge rusher's a little different, but at all of these positions, linebacker, safety – and whatever we're calling slot corner, you know what I mean? Like, the most important thing is coverage. And it's because you have to be able to hold up in pass coverage. And if you're not going to be able to hold up in pass coverage, then you probably need to move to a purely blitzing position or you need to get bigger and get on the defensive line, right, where you're not going to be asked to be in coverage very much. But I think a player like Laquan Robinson moving to linebacker, even as I mean, right now I don't know exactly where he is on the depth chart, right? It would seem like he's competing to be a second stringer.
Right.
With some other guys. But it could show hey, you might need players like that. Really you might need guys who can cover.
Well, he might be more of a specialist too, who's not just you may not be an every down guy right now. Maybe somebody that could come in and just play in certain situations, maybe in pass situations, because of his coverage skills.
We got a couple of things in. I would love to go up and down the Bill Cameron depth chart with notations on how it's changed in the last 72 hours.
Yeah, it hasn't changed much.
It hasn't changed much
at all.
Which, you know what? As we said with Ferguson yesterday, is probably a good thing.
Yes.
You don't want a ton of position battles and question marks, especially on the ones.
Right. And the other thing is, the first couple of days when they're just in shells, they're probably going to go out in the same order that they finished the spring with, unless something happened over the summer.
And there are a lot of guys who are practicing for the first time this week. We'll see where they end up on the depth chart when we get a little bit closer to the season. But I'd love to do that. I think we're going to call Jake, who had to reschedule. We're going to get Jake Crane at some point in the second hour. Can you text? You know his number. Can you reach out to Jake and set up a time in hour two, please? And, yeah, we'll do that. I'm thinking maybe 5:30, his usual time. We got to sit down with some players today.
Yeah, some really good stuff. You were talking about the audio you got from Luke Deal. Jalen McLeod was great as well. I mean, he had very, very high praise for a couple of players that Auburn fans haven't had a chance to see much, if any, of.
And Luke Deal is just, I mean, he's such a tremendous communicator, Bill. We've gotten a chance. And you know what? That's a guy we've gotten a chance to talk to, I don't know, conservatively.
A lot. Well, the thing is, this is probably a good time to be talking to him because he might have to leave any time from practice because his wife is due in less than 2 weeks.
I remember, you know, remember when Luke Deal and he was one of the kid tight ends, right? With Fromm.
Oh, yeah. He's like a grandpa on the team.
I mean, he's an elder statesman on the team now. He's so gifted at explaining different aspects of football and different aspects of the culture in the locker room and things like that. I always get stuff out of conversations with Luke Deal, and he was really good today. And he's talking about seeing the way things have, and he acknowledges, look, with guys like Keldrick or the receivers, he's not right there in the room watching them develop. He's just seeing it as a teammate. But when you get into Rivaldo or Micah Riley, he's got so much praise for Brandon Frazier, right? And the idea that Brandon Frazier could be playing himself.
So Brandon on the way back to the car, he'd already gone to lunch and was headed back. Yes,
tough to miss Brandon Frazier. You know, if he's tough to miss the whale as he's making away and could be on his way. I'd love to play the Luke Deal audio just for the Brandon Frazier stuff where he talks about how special it would be to see
I think he's going to get more opportunities. You saw him last year sort of get those first chances that he'd had really in the long time that he'd been here at Auburn, and I think you're going to see him with opportunities to catch quite a few
more
passes.
The tight end room, Bill, the tight end room is a bit of a Swiss Army knife, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, you think about, like, you have different players that can do very different things between Rivaldo and Micah Riley and Brandon Frazier and Luke Deal and Rico, who, I mean, I don't know how much or how little Rico's going to play. He looks ready.
He's so far. I mean, the thing is, that room is so deep.
That room's deep, and he could be more in competition for next year. But have, you know, even having an insurance, I mean, I just named five guys, right?
Yeah, so that's the thing, and it's really hard to play five tight ends.
Right. I mean, I'd love that. I'd love to see that package. I'd love
three, four, maybe.
I was calling for that last year. Remember?
Yeah.
Like I wanted to see the five tight end package.
I'm sorry. I want some more game breakers. I love those guys.
Oh no. Yeah. Well, not all the time.
Well, you're not going to stretch the field very much with five tight ends.
What do you think? How about at the 2 yard line? You send all five of them in, and then you got a couple options there. You're going to run. You're going to pass. And, you know, who knows who's getting the ball? Put all five of those guys in QB draw. Anyways, the Luke Deal stuff was really cool, and he's Bill, not to brag, I think we may have gotten a bit of a scoop out of Jarquez.
Yeah, I mentioned a little while ago. I was there for Jarquez's about first 6 minutes, then I went over to catch some other players, and you were there. Most people left, and you were still there. There weren't many people around the table. When I looked back over with Jarquez still there.
Yeah, I think Ainsley and Nathan King might have still been around there. I forget. But we asked Jarquez if he talked about, I believe Jason asked the question, Bill, that Jason said it's what has to be true, that Jarquez has never had 20 carries in a game before. I don't know what his game high all time would be.
Wow.
But the idea
I would have surely thought that he had.
The idea that Jarquez Hunter has never had 20 carries in a game before, I thought, well, that's pretty amazing if true. And the thought that he could,
I don't doubt Jason.
He's getting ready for a season where that may happen a couple of times.
Yeah, you would think.
And he's, you know, how he's prepared his body for that, and he talked about that. And then the question was, well, you were a fixture on special teams first couple of years of your Auburn career. Is that over? That was my question. And he said, no, I'm still probably going to be out there kick coverage. And
I wonder if the coaches have told him that, or he's just thinking that.
And I guess we could play the audio and yeah. You could actually, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but he gave off the impression he's going to be out there kick coverage and kick returns. And I said, well, that's something we've discussed on the show, right? Who's got the leg up on the mm-hmm. on the first?
Yeah, we were trying to figure. I mean, do you put your starting running back there?
Receivers, corners.
You just don't usually see starting running backs back on a regular basis. Sure. Sometimes it would be like special occasions, or you really need something, and you put them back there, but not usually at the beginning of a ball game or throughout the game throughout the season.
We've speculated on receivers like Bryce Kane or Malcolm Simmons or Caleb Burton back there as your returners.
I said J.C. Hart yesterday. I'm just thinking of guys with real, real speed.
I think J.C. Hart. Sam Jackson, J.C. Hart, I think are both, you know, quality candidates as well. But the impression we got from Jarquez is it could be Jeremiah Cobb and Jarquez as your pole position kick returners at the moment, which would be not too surprising, but
that'd be a little surprising.
Yeah, cool thing to find out about, and and something else I got to ask Jarquez and Luke Deal about, because they're two of the, again, Bill, if you have the whole list right there, like how many Malzahn signees are on the team?
Was Jarquez?
Was he
Jarquez?
The last?
Jarquez.
I guess you're right. You're
Jarquez
right.
Jarquez was actually
he's fourth year. Yeah, yeah. Jarquez was the off season. It was the off season between Malzahn and
right.
It was the off season. Hard season arrived when Jarquez Hunter, Luke Deal,
and I believe he was a Kevin Steele find that committed and then stuck with Auburn.
Luke Deal, a Malzahn signee, and I asked both of them sort of what it would mean. A roller coaster, turbulent last couple of seasons of Auburn football to have a really triumphant last year playing for the team. Because in the case of both Luke and Jarquez, like this is it. And so I think it was it's cool. Luke was really, as a member of the leadership council and a guy who's pretty comfortable speaking for the locker room on these sorts of issues to talk about. Yeah, for a program like Auburn, they didn't win enough these last couple of years, mm-hmm. and to restore the order, you know, some of these guys who went through, especially the guys who, nothing against the guys who signed up as transfers to play for Auburn, but you think about the guys who signed out of high school and have been here the entire time and have only played Auburn football in their college football careers and are, I mean, what are we talking about? Luke Deal, Zykevious Walker, Tate Johnson, Jarquez.
That are what?
Upperclassmen, seniors that signed with Auburn out of high school.
Oh,
Jeremiah.
That's interesting because, I mean, I've got, I think, 29 seniors, but a lot of those guys are transfers.
I'm thinking Luke.
A lot of them are.
Luke, Brandon, Tate Johnson.
Yeah,
Jeremiah, Jarquez. I mean, it's a Zykevious, Woodyard. I mean, it's a short list of guys that would fit that bill, and I think the season, there's a little bit more on the line for those guys because it's their last chance to restore the order as Auburn football players before their eligibility expires.
I don't even think
it's a 10.
Oscar Chapman's about the only other guy that I could even think of. I think that may be it.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty shocking.
All right,
and I would say that is common at a lot of places that have changed coaches once or twice in the last 5 years too.
Like, oh yes,
it's not ideal. It's not what you want. And if Hugh Freeze is the, I would imagine, Bill, if Hugh Freeze is the coach for the next 5 years of Auburn football, you're not going to have off seasons where you're not going to have situations where there are only 10 guys left from your recruiting class.
You sure hope not.
Two or three years ago. No, you would hope that he could.
Unless they're all going to the league. as soon as they can.
Yeah, but it's those numbers don't add up, do they, Bill?
Especially when we're looking at the possibility of going to 105 scholarships.
Even if your draft eligible guys are all leaving, you still need to have more than that.
If you have 30 draft eligible guys going to the league every year, wow. What an unbelievable story that would be.
Well, you were LSU a couple years ago if you were doing that, right?
Yeah, but they didn't have it happen every year.
No, they didn't.
One time. Yeah, they sure did. All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Love for you to join us.
Yeah, give the phone number because I have some news. I have some news.
The Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390. The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
And we are pleased to welcome Southeastern Industrial Contractors back into the fold. So Southeastern Industrial Contractors sponsoring the text box, 334-564-1840, if you want to chime in with a message in the text box. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center.
All right, we will get to our first break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us. We've got audio. If we don't have calls, we'll let you hear some of the audio from players today as we continue here with the Friday Drive. Again, love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise. I was saying it wasn't really an awful lot. Dan, I know you didn't get a chance to be there for the viewing window, but it was a much shorter period today, only about 20 to 25 minutes. Just sort of reinforced what we saw yesterday. I did go over and watch. I watched the defensive front and linebackers a little bit today just to make sure who all was working where. And you know, Maurice Williams was back with the defensive ends. He is a large young man.
Where could true freshmen see the field on defense?
I think Maurice Williams is one that could see it at defensive tackle.
Riddick?
A defensive end, my bad. Maybe.
There are veterans ahead of Riddick.
I think special teams is where you're going to see DeMarcus Riddick and DJ Barber. But I think Jamonta Waller.
Yep.
You're going to see him. You're going to see him.
Is Joe Phillips in that same competition outside?
Yeah, but he's probably, he's learning and they really like him. Jalen McLeod, if we get a chance, you'll hear some comments from Jalen on the young guys. Really likes Joe Phillips, but he raved about
Kieron.
Raved about Kieron. He raved about Amaris Williams. Sure. He said Amaris Williams is that guy. He said he's that guy. He said Keldrick Falk last year was that guy. Amaris Williams is that guy now. He just needs to mature. And somebody said, so do you see Amaris being, similar to Keldrick? He said, and the way he looked, it was like Amaris is a really – Keldrick is special. Amaris is going to be a star.
And I think there's –
And Kieron Crawford.
I was about to say, with Crawford, the addition of Crawford took some of the pressure off how much you need to play the young guys.
And how much you need to play Jalen McLeod.
And how much you need to play Jalen McLeod.
I'm looking forward to playing this. Because I was surprised when Jalen McLeod said, Kieron Crawford's a better pass rusher than I am. And Jalen is pretty confident in his ability to get after the quarterback. So, I mean, that is something that is really exciting to hear. And we saw yesterday, one time, Keldrick Falk lining up inside and both Crawford and McLeod outside. That is a way to put some serious pressure on a quarterback. So, that's exciting things to think about there defensively. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Jake Crane should be joining us at the top of hour number two. So we're looking forward to talking to him. Tell you what we can do, Drew. Let's go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. And then if we don't have any calls, we'll start letting you hear some of the audio from the player interviews today over with Auburn football practice. You're listening to The Friday Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls here on this Friday afternoon. Again, Auburn football practice. It's day two. We're getting close. It's hard to believe. 3 weeks from today, it's Auburn High football. I mean, Auburn high school football is starting in 3 weeks. We are just 4 weeks from tomorrow away from Auburn University football. And, you know, Auburn will take off practice tomorrow. They'll practice again next week, have their first scrimmage. And I believe next Saturday, we're still trying to figure out exactly, you know, if there might be a way the media might be able to check that out.
But we expect to have some, there's media access next week, more player interviews scheduled. I think we know the schedule up through
midweek,
Thursday or so. And then after that, we're going to find out more when they let us know as we get a little bit closer to the start of the school year, a little bit closer to the start of football season. We imagine that the schedule is gonna shift towards they're gonna start working in the afternoons once classes start.
Yeah, they'll have to. They'll have to move to afternoons.
They'll have to move to the afternoons because they're gonna have to accommodate class schedule. Do we have a confirmed time on Jake, by the way?
Five.
Okay,
yeah.
So 5 o'clock, Crane and Jake Crane from Crane & Company is going to join us. Drew, I just sent you the McLeod file, so we should be able to run a couple minutes of Jalen McLeod. I'll work on sending you Luke Deal as well,
And we'll let you hear Griffin Speaks as well, the Auburn High product, who is back here. And Dan, I was saying, you know, yesterday I looked out there, and he was running number two behind Bug Thompson. And he's got youngsters behind him, Sylvester Smith, who everybody really loves what they've seen from him.
Hugh Freeze likes Griffin Speaks. I think, remember last year he was talking, he's like, he does everything right, he just wishes he was bigger and stronger, right? Bigger, stronger, faster, you know, he just wishes. You know,
but he understands the game, he really knows. Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that is going to be in the right place and is will help put his teammates in the right place. So we'll let you hear some of that in a little while as well. But let's go ahead and let you hear some of the comments. We'll start off with Jalen McLeod, Auburn's returning starter there at the Buck, the rush end, as we had a chance to talk with him. And I believe the first question he gets asked is, you know, how healthy he is, because last fall he got banged up and it really took him most of the season to try to get back close to full speed.
I think so.
What's up, Jalen?
How you doing?
How are you?
Good.
All right, so this is Bill putting the microphone in place, and we're going to hear.
No, I think what it is everybody was hesitant to ask the first question with Jalen.
Jalen, how big would it be to start and end this fall camp healthy going into this season?
It's huge because like last year I got hurt, and right now I'm on the right path, weight-wise, everything. So it'd be huge, and it'd give me a huge advantage. Maintain my weight, and then keep going.
What do you think the biggest strength of the linebacker group is and the defense as a whole this season?
The speed, the depth. So everybody is like, it's not a drop ball when next man come in, and we so fast in that area. So that's the huge one.
Jim, what have you seen out of Keyron Crawford so far?
He good. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, he big, strong, he fat. That's the main thing. He that big, and he's moving, shifty, just like me. Yeah.
Freeze talked about this offseason with you trying to keep you fresher, trying to make sure that you're not playing as many snaps so that you're better and fresher on third downs. How much do you think having a guy like Keyron helps that equation for you?
Because they don't got to – I'm not going to see a chip, but they don't have to chip both of us. Cause he probably a better pass rusher than me, in my opinion. He got a bag that's different, you know. And he got a good get off everything. Like, he the prototype, you know. Got the size, and his size show on the field, too. Like, he just strong. So, both of us on the same with Keldry and Terry, we're going to have a better pass rush, much better.
Do you like those kinds of sets where Keldry is –
yeah,
is kicking inside to give you guys another pass rush?
Yeah, of course, because help me and Keyron, because like me and Keyron can't just do it on the edge. We need somebody interior, and then Keyron bringing more attention. He's getting better because he was a little raw, but he's getting better every day. Literally, he's getting better. He adjusting well. So him and Keldrick, and we have another piece right there inside. We're gonna dominate.
What do you feel like the next installment is for the defense now for this section of fall camp that you need to build upon from the spring?
Just getting closer. You know, we close, but we just getting even closer. That's what we need to win the championship, you know? So that's the main thing, is just getting closer every snap, you know? Talking, communicating. That's it.
Jalen, what kind of goals do you have for yourself and for the defense?
Make sure I stay. The plays don't come to me. My main focus is make sure I'm in the right gap. My technique is I'm technique sound. I'm being strong at a point of attack. Stuff like that. It's just making sure I'm almost perfect every snap. You know. So and then that's gonna help my teammates. You know, I'm not gonna always make the play. I just gotta set people up so they can make the play too. And that's how we're gonna be a better defense.
Jalen, have you seen Jamonta and Joe take a step forward from the spring?
Yes, definitely. Joe was in his playbook, and so he not messing up like he was in the spring. He came in the fall camp with a different mindset. I talked to him like, bro, you can't keep messing up. Like you're a freshman, but you're gonna play some this season too. Jamonta was already on it when he came in, so he approving. So he slowed the game down a lot. So he moving, he playing fast, he playing like you see on his high school tape is. He just need to keep playing that way.
How much does it help to have a couple veterans behind you at linebacker, guys like Eugene and Austin, who've played a lot of football?
It brings our voices big, much bigger. They're not just gonna listen to me; they don't listen to them too. And they lead by example. And like I said, everybody look up to Gene. Everybody know Les Work. So with him and Keys, they both talk. Everybody listen to him. You know, so it's a bigger voice. We all one voice.
What have you seen from Morris? Kind of how he's been able to develop. I know he was kind of flexing between, you know, the edge and the ends. It seems like he's more at the ends right now.
He that guy. I'm gonna say it right now. He that guy. I said about Kelder. Y'all seeing what Kelder doing? Amaris, he that guy. You know, he just gotta mature. You know, and he that guy. That's all I'm gonna say. I can't explain how he big, physical. You see how he's strong. He a big meatball of power. Like he just strong. Like he different.
Does it remind you of Keldrick last season a little bit?
A younger Keldrick, I'm going to say, I think they're two different players, two different type of players. But they both can grow into stars, you know. And Keldrick, right at the door. Amar just got to take that step, just like Keldrick did, and be in the film. And once he learned to do that, man, he going to take off. Y'all going to see it. I promise you, y'all going to see it. But Amar, y'all going to see it.
Everyone keeps talking about the chemistry on the team this year being so much better than it has been. Yeah. You've got a lot of young guys. How has the chemistry with, you know, you older guys with them now?
It's much better because you got to realize you got to learn how to communicate with people. And with them young guys, we had to change our approach in some things, in some ways. And then during the summer, we went out with them. We would take them out like, you not doing nothing? Like, all right, let's go get some eat. We just talk with them, every position group. So that's how, well, we grew together. And the young guys, they look up to it. They tell us every day, almost every day, like, bro, we look up to y'all. So y'all mess up, we're like, okay. We know we're going to mess up too. And they learning that. Like, they learning how to grow as men, young men. That's the main, that's our main focus, so they can grow up as young men off the field. So when we get on the field, it's easy. Everything easy.
Thanks,
Jalen. Jalen McLeod, yeah, did you like the bring that down. Did you like the meatball of power that there was Amaris Williams? I'd never heard anybody called a meatball of power. But, I mean, he really had some complimentary things to say about a couple of the new guys. Young guys, Kieron Crawford, his backup really there. The guy, well, it's sort of his cohort there as a rush end. And then Amaris Williams talked about Jamonta Waller and Joe Phillips as well. And I think all these defensive guys are really excited about what they're going to have this year, feeling like they're going to be a team that's going to put a lot of pressure on quarterbacks and on opposing offenses this year. So that should be a lot of fun to watch the defense. So Jalen McLeod a little earlier today. We also had a chance, as we mentioned, to spend a little time with Jarquez Hunter, Luke Deal, and the two new scholarship players, Jason Jones and Griffin Speaks.
How about this? We take the break now. I think we could play most of Luke Deal when we come back. Jake Crane at 5.
Yeah, and Griffin, I want to run some Griffin Speaks
and I want to
as
find,
well.
I will find you the Griffin Speaks audio before the end of the show.
Yeah, we
can run
it.
The 5:30 audio. Do we have Speaks now?
No, we don't have it yet.
Okay, we will find the Speaks audio. We have Luke Deal now, so we could go to break and then run Luke Deal when we come back.
We will do that. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
I'm Jessica Samuel.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in to The Drive. Final segment of hour number one. And we're going to jump right back into the player interviews. Dan and other members of the media had a chance to sit down with Auburn senior and about-to-be dad, Luke Deal.
My son's been having a day, so we're excited about it. My wife and I, we're kind of just taking it day by day and loving life and being grateful for the things that we have right now. And it's going to be a big time here in a couple days, couple weeks, whatever it may be. Hopefully, we'll be as ready as we can be. Everybody says you don't really know until it happens, but it's going to be exciting.
Is there a plan? Like, what if you're at the facility type thing?
Loose plans. She's got everybody's numbers, you know, that can get a hold of me, but we're not sure about we're going to think about maybe induction dates or something like that, but other than that, kind of whoever can get a hold of me. I trust pretty much everybody in this building to get a hold of me, so she's more the planner than I am. I'm kind of like just take it as it comes and see what happens, but she's pretty organized. She's got like a spreadsheet for everything in her day, so I need that in my life, but she does that for me.
How helpful do you think your father-in-law will be?
Pretty good. He lives in town. He can come across as, you know, kind of just be hard on you, this and that, but he's such a good dude, and I think he's going to be great for our son, great for Ansley, and just great for our development as young parents. It'll be good to have somebody in town that I look up to and that I think very highly of. He'll be great for that.
First couple days, how's practice going?
Pretty good. You know, you always wonder the first couple days, how's your team going to go out there and respond? You know, you've been going through runs and lifts all summer, trying to toughen up your team, trying to see where you're at, just grit-wise, athletically, team bonding, all these different things. You do all that in the summer to see where you're going to be today. So today I thought we had a much better day. Yesterday, not bad. I think everybody, when you put that helmet on, it's a little bit different. They realize that in the Alabama heat, sometimes that humidity gets to you with that helmet on. So I think we kind of had a little bit of a shock yesterday for some guys, especially young guys, but I love the way that everybody responded today. And even toward the end of yesterday, I thought everybody was really competitive. And today, man, it looked like people were pretty much just having fun out there, getting back to, okay, this is still football. This is the highest level of football, and it is a job, and we do have a job to do, but people are getting back to, okay, this is fun. This is supposed to be something that we enjoy. And that's something that I know Coach Ben instills in us, doing our job, but also doing it with a little bit of swagger, a little bit of fun, and I think that's the rest of the offense. And I know the defense, you can hear the defense chirping all day, so you know they have a little bit of fun, but sometimes it gets on our nerves, but we're all one team, and we're going to be excited for that come game week.
What was the hardest thing to put together in the nursery?
See, you're kind of exposing me here because I didn't do much, you know. I told you, my wife, she plans everything, so she had it done before I could even do it. But I painted the nursery, so I'll say that. Make sure we're getting nice, even paint coats on the walls. But she kind of put together everything else. Everything's organized. It looks, if you look at it, you'll know that I didn't put it up, that I didn't put it together. It looks really good. So.
Rivaldo's still relatively new to football. Guys started playing late in high school. Have you seen development and improvement? Where's he coming around as a player?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it didn't take long for him to be a guy who's pretty much a vet, you know, and even somebody who's relatively new to football, he doesn't play that way. And a lot of that's just a testament to his work ethic and how invested he is in his craft and his game. And obviously he's talented, everybody knows that, but he really goes out there and he works really hard, and you can tell because each day he gets a little bit better. I think that's something that we're trying to do as tight ends too, is just find something in your game that you can get better at, whether it's footwork, whether it's conditioning, whether it's route running. For me, it's in the pass game. I've always been known as kind of like the blocking guy and somebody who will kind of stick their nose in there, which I don't want to lose, but I'm trying to learn from some of those guys, even as a sixth year, which sounds weird, but I'm still trying to learn from some of those guys like Rivaldo, like Brandon Frazier, like some of those guys who have got a little bit more natural route running and pass catching ability, just trying to take it and learn, because none of us are too old to learn from somebody else, and nobody should be too prideful to learn from somebody else. I think that's what our room really kind of harps on.
Do you sense a difference with the receiving room now, with all that talent that they put together there?
Yeah, I think within the room they're much more confident. Their coaches love the coaches in there. Coach Davis, man, I love Coach Davis's energy. Those guys really, really react to that. But like you said, they're talented, so they're a lot more confident. You know, it seems like when we throw up a 50-50 ball, instead of saying, maybe it's a prayer, it's truly, okay, we're going to come down with this ball. So, and what people don't understand, people out there, that helps everybody. That helps tight ends. It helps us get one-on-one matchups where you can use a big body. It helps you in the run game where you've got to honor our X and Z receivers, and it's really, really nice. I think it's really good for what Coach Freeze does and what this offense does, Coach Nix does, with our playbook. I mean, it's a RPO, run game, a bunch of different things that you can do. And having guys on the outside that can make plays and that confidence level is important for our offense.
In that same vein, you know, those freshmen, Coach said yesterday that when you talk about these freshmen who can potentially contribute in their first season, you're looking for the skill set, obviously, and the mindset of, you know, I'm a freshman, I'm going to put that bad play behind me, and I'm going to absorb what I can. What have you seen out of that group in terms of those two aspects?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that you just hit on, and that's the thing that I try to tell all the young guys, especially in the tight end room. Anytime we get a new tight end, if you make a mistake, you can't go back and redo it. Like it's done. Like I had mistakes today. I can't go back and say, oh, man, that mistake sucked. You know, that was horrible. It is what it is. It sucked. That's what it is. But just the growth individually, being able to, okay, I had a bad play, but the next one's not going to be that way. Okay, it won't happen again. That mindset, I see that from those young guys, especially in the receiver room. So I think that's a sign of maturity, a sign of readiness to play, and they have to be ready to play because they're really talented and they're going to help us this year.
And the biggest thing, I think, the biggest message all, you know, offseason from Coach Freeze has been how comfortable he feels, how aligned everything feels.
Yeah.
You know, obviously in your sixth season, just kind of how does that aspect of just the program as a whole compare to maybe years past?
Yeah, I've been through a lot of change. There's no surprise there to anybody, but I feel like the best seasons that I've had here is whenever everybody is on that same page. The offense is cohesive. Everybody's thinking the same way, talking the same language, signaling the same thing, teaching the same way. Okay, this route, you're on this step or this yardage. Everybody talks the same way. And I think it's comforting for a guy like me who's been through some change to have that, especially for some of these young guys coming in, because I know how valuable that is. Just everybody being on the same page, I know it's very valuable, especially for young kids.
You had a smile when you mentioned Brandon. You know, is that a guy? I mean, you really want to see his college football career end in triumph and solid playing time in this last year?
Absolutely, he's one of my best friends. We were in each other's weddings. You know, we got that kind of relationship, as do I with a lot of our tight ends. So, but he's a very gifted, natural football player. He's got everything that you need in a tight end. He can do it. You know, you ask him to go up there and catch a one-on-one ball, he can do it. You ask him to go down there and block a five technique, he can do it. He's a guy that you'll see big things from this year.
There's a select group of, you know, fourth and fifth and sixth year Auburn players that signed with Auburn out of high school that have been through the ride this whole time. What would it mean for you guys to have a triumphant final season?
Yeah.
As Auburn players?
Well, I think talking about what we just talked about, going through a lot of change, ups and downs, obviously I've not won as many games as I wanted to here. Not what we expect to at a place like Auburn. We talk about how many people have won national championships in the last so-and-so years. We're one of very few schools, so it's a very prestigious university, prestigious football program. And we knew what we were getting into when we signed up here. And there's a lot of pressure there, but I think it would just mean so much because the guys who have stayed here, that's a, kind of a testament to how much we love this place, love this school, this fan base. Our teammates, and I think to be able to go out with a bang and go out with a few wins, especially ones that we should have won in previous years, I think that's going to be something that we look forward to.
Luke Payton talked in the spring about the RPO game. He said there was a little tweak made a couple weeks into the spring that kind of opened things up, made things easier. When you look back at last year,
most of the comments from Luke Deal, some great stuff there, as we appreciate the opportunity to talk to the players and see as much practice as we have. We're halfway done here on the Friday Drive. Jake Crane with a special Friday. We'll have a special Friday edition of our own visit with Jake Crane of Crane & Company when we come back for hour number two of the Friday Drive.
Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Hope everybody doing well on this really, really hot Friday. Going to be a hot weekend as well. I don't think there's a much hot chance of rain until next Tuesday or so.
A hot graduation weekend.
Ooh, that
right?
Is right.
Commencement ceremonies
that is
going
exactly
on.
Right.
A lot of move-in going on this weekend as well, so stay hydrated. Be careful. Be safe out there. But yeah, you're right, Bill. It's a hot one as we are, what, just 3 weeks away from the first Auburn High School football game of the season?
And 4 weeks from tomorrow is the first Auburn game, and of course there are games before that. So, yes, we are rapidly approaching the start of football season, and this is the kind of weather that you get used to. You know, understanding that this is the weather they practice in.
The first Division I football game of the season, the kickoff of the very first game, is going to be Saturday morning, August 24th.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Florida State Georgia Tech game live from Ireland. That's the one that they're playing at a Viva Stadium in Dublin. Little ACC. I guess that's still the Atlantic Coast, right?
Yeah, that's far. That's more ACC than
Cal.
You know, Cal is absolutely.
that's amazing. I wonder if they considered that when they booked the game that Ireland is also on the Atlantic coast. But Florida State and Georgia Tech getting the season started 3 weeks from tomorrow morning with the first college football game of the year, and like you said, Bill, just a week later, Auburn kicks it off in their season with a lot of other teams going with the traditional week one on September the 1st, August 31st, September 1st week.
Right. Hour number two of The Drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
You can also text the show 33456.
I didn't give the phone number yet
I want to welcome Southeastern Industrial Contractors back in the fold.
Back.
I'm very happy with that. They sponsor the text box 334-564-1840, and they also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
We're going to get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Wasn't able to be with us on Tuesday. We're pleased that we're going to get a few minutes with our good friend from Crane & Company, Jake Crane, here on this Friday edition of The Drive. Jake, how you doing, man?
Oh, gentlemen, it's Friday. We're so close to college football. I can taste it. Fall camp is open, so it's a great time to be alive.
Oh, you're right. We've had the chance to be over and watch a little bit of the first couple of days of practice. And, I mean, everybody looks great. Well, not everybody looks great, but a lot of players look really good. before they get the full gear on. But I'll say this, Jake, just on the hoof, this is as good looking an Auburn team as I've seen in a while.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, until the pads come on, you know, you guys know this as well as anybody. It's all chatter, but, you know, I haven't been able to get down there. But from, you know, people I've talked to that I've trusted, Auburn looks like we're supposed to look.
Right.
Which is great to hear because, you know, the roster's been thin in a lot of spots, and Auburn has been kind of undersized in aggregate at a lot of different spots. But I tell you what, if this wide receiver room, if Peyton can put it where he needs to, or at least anywhere close to where he needs to, I've got a good feeling about the guys surrounding him, at least from what I've heard.
Well, he's looked really sharp the first couple of days. The receivers, man, what a difference it is to look at this receiver core. I thought it was interesting yesterday. Keandre Lambert-Smith, Dre was the first guy out there at receiver, leading the drills, making some really good catches, sort of took Perry Thompson under his wing, and my goodness, you got to have a big wing to take him under. But, I mean, Perry Thompson, very impressive looking. This is a really good-looking group of receivers that that Peyton's going to be throwing to.
Well, it's got to make you feel good if you're on that coaching staff to see a guy you brought in from Penn State that's an older guy in a room with a lot of young, talented guys really showing that leadership, not just talking about it, but showing it. That's how you know that the room is where it needs to be and that the coaching staff, the messaging is getting through. The guys they brought in look like the right type of guys. But, yeah, I mean, I can't remember. And Bill, I mean, you know, not trying to age you, but you've watched more Auburn football and seen more Auburn teams than me. Dan, you too a little bit, but not as much as Bill. Can you ever remember an Auburn wide receiver group looking like this physically, like having a – not just like we've had big guys before, but just this many just good-looking, you know, physical specimens at wide receiver?
I mean, I think you'd probably have to go back to the 2004 team that had multiple guys.
They weren't as physical-looking. You had Anthony Mitch.
But you're right. You're right. But I would say as far as when you felt – well, first of all, feeling this good about the group, you know, 1-4, 1-5 potential-wise, you probably have to go back to when Tuberville signed the 2 5-stars, yes. Omano and Aroma Shadu, Courtney Taylor came around.
That was the last highly touted. Anthony Mitch. As far as physical specimens, Auburn every once in a while would have a Ronnie Daniels, a Dee Green, a somebody like that, but there are multiple guys that look like that.
Well, I think both
like Anthony Mix,
yes,
like big guys.
Both of Jake, I would say both Cam and Perry, in any Auburn football season I can remember, would be the most impressive looking freshman receiver I've ever seen. Like if either of them, and I've been you know coming up on a couple of decades of doing this, Bill, and you can go back to. I mean, I think we landed on a couple more decades. We landed on Beasley,
yeah.
Jake, as maybe the last freshman receiver people were this excited about, and that's and Terry Beasley was a freshman a while ago. Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson. Not to slight Bryce Kane or Malcolm Simmons, but I think that it's a slightly different kind of recruit. When you're talking about Cam and Perry, who was a 5-star for much of the, and that's not to say that Simmons or Kane couldn't end up becoming the best receiver of the bunch. I don't know how it's going to go, but they're both Coleman and Thompson seem to be as impressive physically as any freshman receiver I've ever seen in an Auburn uniform.
Well, you know, I'm a defensive guy. I'm just sitting here trying to figure out what in the world I would do. If you rolled out there on offense and you had Cam Coleman on one side at the outside, Perry Thompson on the other side at the outside, and Rivaldo Fairweather, who's not a small person at all, lining up in the seam or even in the slot. I mean, look, size isn't everything, but it definitely helps when physics is on your side.
Yeah, you were talking about defense. Wait till you get a chance to watch Kieron Crawford. I don't know if you've watched him much at Arkansas State, but man, was he impressive! And then Jalen McLeod today. This is one of the
we ran this in the first hour.
Yeah, this is one of the most unique phrases I've ever heard. He was talking about Crawford, and first he said that Kieron Crawford's a better pass rusher than he was, and Jalen McLeod is a pretty confident young man who's a very good pass rusher, but he was asked about Amaris Williams when you're talking about young guys. He said he's a big meatball of power.
Oh, I love that.
Never heard spicy, that one.
A spicy meatball of power,
that's
my friend.
That's a spicy meatball. That's
right. Look, it sounds like we got pass rushers and pass catchers. You can always sign me up for that, fellas. But I tell you what, this Hugh Freeze, I think you could legitimately make the argument that if we're talking about somebody that had to replace and turn over a roster, that he may have done the best job in the country, but it's just the quarterback position that everybody kind of looks to on the negative side, and we'll see. But what they're doing in recruiting, and Bill, remember, when he got the job, we talked about it on here, Hugh Freeze is a relentless recruiter. But just because you work hard doesn't mean it's going to work. I mean, my washing machine works hard. But whatever messaging that is going out to these recruits, especially in-state, and the way that they're prioritizing these guys, man, if Auburn goes out there and goes at least 8-4 this year, it's about to be a fun ride.
Well, the potential is there, you'd think, for the team to get better. I mean, they seem to have addressed the most pressing areas of need. Some folks would argue quarterback was one of those situations coming out of last year. Where are you on, you know, Peyton Thorne getting a full offseason as QB1 and what that could do for him in his second year at Auburn?
Well, you know, it obviously helps, right? You get used to the terminology. Hugh Freeze, yeah, he's calling the plays now, but there's going to be a lot of similarities. So the learning curve isn't at warp speed like it was last year. You know the lay of the land. You know what to expect now after going through an SEC schedule. And probably the most important thing is you actually have help. Like, two things can be true at once. Peyton Thorne, I didn't think was a very good thrower of the ball last year, but Peyton Thorne also didn't really have a lot of options to make him look, even if he's not a great thrower, pretty daggum good. It helps when you've got a bunch of talent around you. I think we're going to see that. And then I think him elevating himself in the run game, gaining a lot of confidence, keeping the ball off the RPO action, being able to maybe scramble and create more this year. I do expect a better Peyton Thorne. The question is, you know, how good is a better Peyton Thorne? Can he, you know, be a guy that helps Auburn win a game or two that maybe they shouldn't, as opposed to being a guy that sometimes, you know, pushes Auburn toward the bad spot of the result. So I think he's going to be better. The question is just how much, but I just know it doesn't hurt when you're better around you and you have experience and you've kind of gone through the system after a year.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. We're talking with Jake Crane of Crane & Company here on the Friday edition of The Drive. And, man, I guess we've gotten so caught up the last couple of days with practice. Big Cat was just this past weekend, and what a weekend that was, and I don't think we're done yet, but I think even the most optimistic Auburn folks wouldn't have expected 8 commitments within 72 hours of Big Cat, Jake.
No, it's one thing, you know, to have a high-ranked recruiting class. We've seen Auburn have high-ranked recruiting classes before, not to take anything away from the staff. But right now what I'm seeing, to me, the most important part is not just who, but where. Auburn is winning battles against Alabama and going into places like Mobile and winning, which is an Alabama stronghold. Going into places like Birmingham and cleaning house right now against Alabama, which is an Alabama stronghold. I guess maybe a little bit of it is, you know, there is a crack in the door now that Saban's gone and DeBoer's connections are kind of in different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems to me like whatever they're telling them is working. Auburn can offer playing time, which is a great pitch. Auburn can, you know, hang tough in the NIL space. But what they're doing in state right now, to me, I've never really seen Auburn do this before. And it's guys that Alabama wants. And you know, you look at DeMarcus Riddick last year, guys that Georgia wanted. So I'm more impressed by the where than the who. And again, it goes back, I'll go back to what I keep saying. The last ingredient in the recipe for Auburn to be operating at full tilt is the on-the-field success. If Auburn can go out there and show that, hey, we're trending in the right direction on the field, then that's going to do nothing but increase what has already been an absolute surplus on the recruiting side, especially in the state of Alabama.
Jake, another player, I'm so interested in these second year, especially the veterans. I mean, there's going to be, I think that some of the bigger recruits in coming into their second year at Auburn, guys like Keldrick Falk or Connor Liu or Jeremiah Cobb, like they could break out as well. We talked to Jarquez today, who made it seem like Jarquez and Jeremiah might be in the pole position to be the kick returners for Auburn this fall at the moment. A guy I keep thinking about is Rivaldo. Your second year in the SEC, he transferred last year, and you know had, you know his development was maybe stunted a little bit because of that. And he's also someone who's pretty new to football, you know, compared to your average college football player. Started playing, I think, late in high school, and has been, you know, has been relying on advanced athleticism as the technique improves. You know, Rivaldo fits the profile of a guy who could be much better in year two.
Well, look, I've said this for the past couple months. I think I even said it when I talked to you up in Dallas, Dan, at SEC Media Days. I think Rivaldo Fairweather is going to probably be one of the top three tight ends taken in the NFL draft. I truly believe that. Because of some of the things you said, you know, he was raw. He was a late bloomer. But when you see his skill set and what he can do and his ability to be a big-bodied guy that can move really well, but his hands, he's got very strong hands. His catch radius is really big, and he's a red zone nightmare. But last year, people realized on defense, oh, well, that's their only weapon in the pass game. We're not worried about anybody else. So the deal against Auburn is stop the run, just focus on Rivaldo on passing downs, and you're probably going to be all right. And that's what a lot of teams did, especially in big games. So that's why having Cam Coleman, that's why having Robert Lewis and Lambert Smith, and that's why having Perry Thompson and all these guys are going to do nothing but help Rivaldo, because you can't double everybody. Not only that, you can't just focus on Rivaldo Fairweather anymore in the passing game. So I think it's going to do nothing but help him blossom. And it's funny and it's kind of ironic, you know, you being the only target may, or you not being the only target may end up in you getting more targets than you originally were when you were the only target. So I'm very interested to see it. And I think he's a chance that guy that has a chance playing in the NFL for a while.
Yeah, and one of the things we've talked about, I mean, just watching for the first couple of days, early on, it looks like really no big surprises in there, sort of as we expected coming in. And what a difference that makes. One of the words I used to talk about the way I perceived Hugh Freeze is a word that he used multiple times in his press conference yesterday, and that's comfortable. He's comfortable with the roster. He's comfortable with the staff. And they all know what to expect, and that is a huge difference from last year, and what it should be, really, what you hope it would be in year two.
And a huge difference, again, not to take shots at the guy unnecessarily or anything, a huge difference from the way it felt going into Brian Harsin's second season. Like thinking about where we were going into the second season, yeah. August 2022, I mean, there had been so much turnover between the end of the previous mm-hmm. year, and it didn't feel like it was all turnover where the coaching staff felt like they could improve on the lost player and they had a plan. It was it felt much more ramshackle, and I think the season bore that out. In some way, yeah, in 2022,
maybe the highlights of that for us were the caps and the T-shirts that we got,
the merch, yeah.
Well,
it was a fun ride till the Penn State game, yeah, Bill. That's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then it was. You know, the new podcast, Huddle Up, You're Fired. But now, look, it makes you a lot more comfortable. The main thing is it makes you a lot more comfortable when you know you got better players.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think a lot of the comfortability is, oh my, you know, we're not going to have to catch all the breaks to have a chance to win. We can just go out there and be better than people. And not every game. Auburn's not there yet from a roster standpoint, but they're a whole heck of a lot further than they were. But also, I think a lot of it has to do with, look, he's calling the plays. It's back on him now. And I've always thought, and even when I was in coaching, I was like, man, you know, if I ever become a head coach, you know, the reason that I would become a head coach is because I was a great play caller, whether that be on offense or defense. So when I become a head coach, then I just stop doing what I'm best at and let somebody else do it. You know, the thing that got me there. So I think there's a comfortability with that, is that at the end of the day, whether the ship floats or whether the ship sinks, it was going to be me that was in control of it. Because I just can't imagine, you know, getting fired and not calling the plays or not doing the thing that got you to the point of being that head coach. So obviously the staff likes each other, which is huge. And I think that permeates to the players. I think the way the coaches are around each other, that has an effect on the locker room, right? You kind of lead by example that way because players know, and I've been a part of teams where there are some coaches that didn't like each other and players know it, and it creates division. So again, I've continued to say Auburn is all aligned, and I feel like they're aligned in this aspect as well.
It's going to be fun, and it's going to get here very quickly. Jake, really appreciate you spending a little time with us here on this Friday. What you got going on this weekend?
Man, I tell you, I've been watching a little bit of the Olympics. Like, I watched the badminton. That's insane. Those guys are so incredibly good. But, no, man, just, keeping up with fall camp, looking at the reports, trying as fast as humanly possible to digest all the information and kind of see how it goes. So, we've got a great week coming up on the show. Got some great guests. We're talking all college football, including Auburn. So it's Crane & Company, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CRAINN Company. If you like this show, you'll probably like ours.
Jake, I got a random Olympics tip for you this weekend. 5 a.m. I believe Sunday. I want to get the Central and Eastern time right. But you got Djokovic versus Alcaraz for the for the gold medal. And I believe Novak would be the oldest person to ever win the gold medal in men's tennis, and Alcaraz would be the youngest person to ever win the gold medal in men's tennis. And these two, there's a chance that when Alcaraz finishes his career, the two greatest men's tennis players ever are Djokovic and Alcaraz. And Alcaraz, they have a chance to play for the gold medal on Sunday morning. I would encourage folks who love competition, and Jake, I know that about you, to can appreciate greatness in different sports.
Yeah.
That's a Jordan versus LeBron esque showdown in men's tennis for the gold medal on Sunday.
No, it's going to be awesome. David Cohn, one of our co-hosts, he's a big fan of tennis, and he's been talking about it. I know Joker, I think, beat Nadal, right, to move on. But, yeah, man, that's going to be a great one, and it's going to be one I'm going to try and catch. I'm going to see if I can wake up that early.
When they played the Olympics earlier this summer, it was the 60th meeting ever between Djokovic and Nadal, and going in, it was 30-29. Djokovic, and he wins to win the what was probably the last time they ever play in a professional setting or in a high level setting competition tennis. Novak wins the career series 31-29.
Incredible, man. Two of the goats.
Yep. Great stuff, Jake. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, Jake.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
All right, see y'all.
Jake Crane joining us. He's usually with us on Tuesdays. Glad that he could give us a few minutes here on the Friday edition of The Drive. We'll get to our first break. Love for you to join in. Again, 334-321-1390. That's The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Back with more here on the Friday Drive. And if we get an opportunity, we'll play Griffin Speaks as well, one of the two newest scholarship football players at Auburn. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Hey, sports fans, Jeff Myers here, FirstBaptistChurch.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Yeah, thanks to Jake Crane for joining us. It is fun. I mean, as camp getting underway everywhere. I mean, Alabama started practice Wednesday. Auburn started Thursday. I mean, everybody's fairly excited as you can be in this kind of weather, though. But, I mean, it is fun to feel this kind of optimism that people have. Not that people are, not that I'm saying, everybody's excited that Auburn's going to win double-digit games this year. But, no. They really do appear to be primed to take that next step, which is what you want to see in year two. Now, they've got to go do it on the field. But what we've seen the first couple of days of practice, Dan, has been a much more SEC-looking type group of athletes.
Bill, I want to go a little grab bag with this segment because I know we got to take a break pretty early on. So we've got some Auburn folks in the news. I don't know how many of these stories you know about.
Probably not a lot.
All right. Mason Barnett was traded at the deadline, former Auburn baseball pitcher.
I didn't see that he was involved in a deal.
Mason Barnett, who as of earlier this week, was the number four prospect in the Kansas City Royals organization, has been traded to the Oakland A's for the Lucas Ursegg is the setup man,
flame throwing setup.
Yeah, so he's the setup man going from Oakland to Kansas City. Former Auburn pitcher Mason Barnett is one of three players going from Kansas City to Oakland,
right,
soon to be Vegas in that deal. I would imagine in that organization, Mason Barnett will be in the majors
soon,
very soon,
yes, and getting
an ample opportunity.
Well, good for him.
Third round pick out of Auburn in 2022. How about Jasher Cox, Bill? Did you hear this news?
No.
Oh boy.
I mean, Jasher has been,
congratulations.
Jasher has been moving.
Oh, Bill, I'm glad I get to break this one to you.
For
those of you who don't know, Jasher Cox, former co-host of ours, worked in the athletic department.
Yeah, and has just been working his way up through athletics.
Yeah, worked in different conferences. Was at Allen University as the athletic director.
Right,
and announced yesterday on social media that he has taken on the role of the director of regional development at Notre Dame. Congratulations,
wow,
to Jasher Cox.
Wow, yeah,
director of regional development at Notre Dame, an Auburn graduate, great Auburn man, a guy who could very well be an important person at Auburn.
Called us just out of the blue a year or so ago.
The best.
Remember?
The when we had Andy on, right? During a segment we had Andy on. So congratulations to the new director of regional development at the University of Notre Dame,
Well Jasher deserved. Cox. Yeah, Jasher has worked very hard and is he's always been riding that rocket straight up.
Going to work with the development team. And there's a Bill. There's a picture of Jasher in front of the Play Like a Champion today.
The distinguished Jasher. Yeah.
How great is that? Yeah. So shout out to our longtime.
Always had that great smile.
Our longtime friend Jasher Cox moving up in the world.
I had
the
not
world
seen that.
And going to South Bend.
That is great. All right. With that, I tell you what. If we don't have calls, we're going to sort of keep it local. When we come back, we'll let you hear Griffin Speaks. Auburn announcing that two walk-ons had been granted scholarships. Jason Jones, a running back, got some audio from him as well, but thought it would be fun to hear Griffin Speaks, local product, getting his scholarship. And we'll let you hear that when we come back here on the Friday Drive. All right.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. And as we said, we had an opportunity to spend some time with, I guess, five Auburn football players today. We're going to have we'll have some more opportunities and some different players. But two of the players we got a chance to talk to, we don't normally do. We don't normally get Jason Jones. I've got 5 or 6 minutes with Auburn's new scholarship running back, who is graduating tomorrow. So I mean, what a huge week for him that he is graduate. He's
Now, how does that work? So his scholarship will be reflected on this fall,
yes,
right?
Like so. So this fall for graduate classes, he won't have to worry about paying.
And he's also Auburn's number four running back and a staple of special teams, a fixture on the special teams circuit.
Yeah, and if we get a chance, we'll let you hear some of that as well. But he talked about some of the problems at times, and it's funny. You and I were talking yesterday. We were looking at Jarquez Hunter, whose thighs are like tree trunks. But I mean,
he's drawn like a comic book character, right?
He really is.
You got the proportions of like.
But I said, you know, these guys may not be as tall as they're listed. And you had a great point. I mean, it can be difficult at times to be a tall running back. And Justin Jones said exactly that he's had to deal with, you know, learning to play running back being a little taller because he's 6'1", 6'2".
Well, being a tall running back sounds great until a smaller linebacker gives you one in the chin.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's like, ooh, maybe this isn't the best, you know, position to be. And people always talk about not, you know, you runs too upright.
Right.
You know, which is a tough thing if you're 6'2" or 6'3". A lot of running backs have really excelled in that 5'7" to 5'11" range and you know, figured out a way to work for them. And I think Auburn, I mean, they have to love a situation where you feel like any one of, to say nothing of Jason Jones or any of the walk-on options or Sean Jackson, but I think Auburn has three running backs they feel like could be a starter and every down running back if they needed them to be.
Yeah, and you heard Jarquez say that I mean, he feels like Auburn's running back room is as good as anybody's in the nation. So we've got some of that as well. We haven't played Jarquez or Justin, but did want to play the local product who earned a scholarship, and that is Griffin Speaks, who looks to be in the playing rotation at safety. And this audio courtesy of Brian Stultz there at AuburnSports.com, you know, one of the guys working with BMAT, Brian Matthews, who will be in here on Monday. So here are some of the comments from one of Auburn's newest scholarship players.
Say about 2 weeks ago.
Inside.
Yes, sir. Very excited. Very excited. It's an honor and a blessing for sure.
Was it announced at the team, to the team at that time, or did that come later?
That came a little bit later. I was talking to Freeze, and it kind of slipped out, and we had a really cool moment together. The next day, we had a team run, and after the team run, he got us all up and let me and Justin know, and we got to react with our teammates, which is really fun.
What was the moment like where it kind of slipped out with Coach Freeze? Like what happened?
We were up. I was actually up in his office, and you know, Freeze is really good with the relationships and helping us off the field. He's really been helping me off the field with things that I'd like to do and things that I'd like to get into. And we were up there talking all about it, and you know, he started smiling, and I could feel that something was coming. And he told me I wasn't supposed to know, and I kind of got it out of him. And it was fun. It was cool. So.
Can you just kind of talk about your journey? I mean, Coach Roberts called you, right, when you were at Baylor?
Yes, sir.
So you come to Auburn, and then he's calling.
Right.
Been kind of an unusual journey.
Right, you know, for sure. It's all the Lord's plan, nothing but the Lord. You know, I think back, you know, about my family. And how I really got here. My late grandfather, Michael, brought our family over here to Auburn, instilled hard work. My grandmother, Mama, Carolyn Speaks, she's the queen of Auburn. And just the hard work that my family has instilled in me, growing up with three brothers, a very, very competitive household. I'm just no doubt a product of my community and a product of my family. Really just, I say the community, you know, my neighborhood, incredible families like the Lyles, the Northcutts, the Sprayberries. I could go down, you know, coaches, you know, Coach Harris, Coach Matt Simo, Coach Jordan, that's still coaching at Dean Road. You know, I could go on and on. I'd really just say it means a lot. Just from where I've come from, and doing it for the people that I love and cherish. Like going out to Baylor or growing up here, I've always wanted to play here. You know, I've always wanted to wear the orange and blue. Baylor took a chance on me. I went out there, and getting a call to come back home, you know, meant more than anything. So really just it means a lot.
So what's it like now that you're a scholarship player at Auburn? Growing up here, that had to have been a dream of yours. Now that you've got it, what does that feel like?
Definitely a dream. You know, we celebrated for a few minutes, but to be honest, it's all about the process. And for me, I feel like a lot of the people that I've grown up with have instilled in me, you know, to be process oriented over results oriented. You know, fall in love with the process, and hopefully you'll enjoy the results. So for sure, there's definitely some celebrating. Me and my dad had a very emotional phone call. You know, with some screaming, and it was really cool, you know, getting to tell my family and community and everybody that's gotten me here, because I would not be here without any of them. So it was definitely cool, but it's, you know, it's just right back to work. Like nothing's changed, because the approach has always been the same. The approach has always been to come in, you know, handle your business, put your head down, and do what you need to do. So definitely some celebrating, but really just right back to work.
How about what you've seen defensively from this team so far? Maybe it's potential. And
oh, yeah. And we got some fire. I'm telling you, we got some dudes. We got some pros. We got some guys that are going to play on Sundays. The attention to detail has really stood out. Coach Durkin has done a great job of instilling, you know, the work ethic and the details, even off the field, that can translate to on the field. So I'd say I'm extremely excited. We have a lot of guys who care. We got a lot of guys who are putting in the time off the field that'll hopefully translate on the field.
Griffin Speaks, very, very well spoken by Griffin Speaks, as he talked about getting a scholarship and some of the thoughts about this year's defense and this year's team. Before we get to break, I mean, I was just looking at some moves. You were talking about, you know, Mason Barnett being dealt. Former Auburn right-hander Trey Wingenter, claimed by the Cubs from the Red Sox. And as Drew was mentioning, yeah, Chuma Okeke, now Nick.
Very cool. Yeah, I hope. Hopefully, I mean, Chuma's development was stunted as an NBA player from the injury back in the NCAA tournament in 2019. I think he's always been trying to sort of get back on track. He's had moments where he's looked the part. Hopefully, in New York, he can find his groove.
Yeah, hopefully so. Again, 334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love to hear from you. It's going to be a weekend. Let's see. With graduation, there's no football practice tomorrow. But another one of Auburn's top targets, who was at Big Cat last week, Jared Smith, the big edge from Thompson, is announcing tomorrow. And all signs still seem to point to Auburn.
And Auburn would love to keep the momentum going. Like you said, talking to Jake, the Big Cat weekend was just, it was just
a few days ago.
Yeah, it was just,
weekend.
Most of it was Saturday, and you know, the thought that we're less than a week away, and Auburn would love to. I mean, they're already at 20 recruits for the class of 25,
and they'd love five to grow that for number. 26. So
they'd love to grow that number, and they'd love to have a lot of the work already done before the season starts when it comes to building that class of 25. I think that was something Hugh Freeze had to do a lot during the season last year, right? Was try to get that
right.
That 24 class together. You want to be able to focus on other stuff while the season is actually happening.
All right, we'll get to our final break. We might be able to run a little more audio for you, but I mean, we've got about 10 minutes left. So stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Attention large property owners and adventure seekers.
27502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Friday. Again, day two of Auburn spring football practice. Didn't work quite as long, at least outside early on, but they did. They went a good bit past when they were scheduled to go today, because we were, I think, initially expected to start getting player interviews around 11:30, and we didn't get anybody until a little after 12:15. So they worked a good while today. While we were out there watching just in different groups, I went and watched primarily defensive line and linebackers, and then came over and watched the quarterback throwing with the receivers.
If Auburn, we said the biggest question on the 22, you know, the starting lineups on both sides, biggest question might be the safety next to Bug Thompson. Would you say it's Caleb at the moment with Sylvester Smith pushing him?
I'd say, yeah, they're rotating. They're almost rotating, working with the ones. It is Thompson, and then one time you look out there, it's Caleb Wooden, then it's Sylvester Smith. And Terrence Love is over there, along with Griffin Speaks, behind Thompson.
And I guess I don't know exactly how DJ Durkin's going to deploy these guys, but I would think if you're looking at like a starting 11 would have five defensive backs, three linemen, two linebackers, and McLeod, maybe. Like, that could be in the so you're thinking maybe like let's go back to front. Like if we're talking Bug Thompson and Caleb Wooden / Sylvester Smith at safety.
Right.
Keontae, Champ Anthony, Kay and Lee at
those
corner.
Are definitely your corners. Antonio Kite.
J.C. Hart.
Is probably the next corner. Yeah, I think J.C. Hart.
Jay Crawford.
And then Jay Crawford.
Yeah, I mean, that's the next guys up there.
Now, but we did see Jaquez Robinson.
That's right.
Working behind Champ at nickel.
The Colorado transfer who has worked with Charles Kelly in the past,
the past 2 years.
Just like Spooty Kite at Alabama, I believe, his first
year. He's been with him each of the last 2 years. Kite was with him 2 years ago, and then when Kelly went to Colorado, Robinson went with him.
The defensive line at the moment, it's tough to necessarily I would think
I
would think Falk, Jones, and maybe Trill Carter feel like three, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if Rakes pushes for one of those gauge keys.
Trill was working with Jason Jones. It was like the four guys working inside were Jason Jones, Trill Carter, Bobby Jamison, Travis, and
where's Gage Keys?
Gage was more at the tackle.
Okay,
he was more at the tackle along with Philip Bleedy, Malik Blockton, and DJ Reed.
Where's Rakes?
Rakes is the nose. Rakes is the other nose.
Rakes is the
I
other
had
nose.
To look because okay. He's number 22. I was looking down at my numbers. Rakes is wearing.
You
gonna
play some running back? You gonna give him a couple carries?
That'd be a blaster of a running back. Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Who would like Tez Doolittle? Right?
Classic. Yeah, two-way Tez. Yeah. Hey, don't mention that name to Scott. He tried to tackle him during high school. All right, we got
We're
a couple
both
of minutes.
Get text messages about that.
Let's let you hear some of the comments from Auburn's other new scholarship recipient, and that's about to be graduate Justin Jones.
Maybe he'd give a scholarship probably towards the end of camp, middle of camp, but he got me good this time. It's a really good feeling, and it's a blessing. Thank God every day that I was able to get it.
Was it during like a team meeting? How did
it? Oh, it was right after a team run, so I am tired and trying to catch my breath, listening. It's going in and out the ear. I'm like, saying my name. So, yeah, it was a different experience. It was good, though.
What did your teammates, what was their reaction?
Oh, everybody got hyped. Everybody showed a lot of love. It was had me on the back, telling me, it's about time, you owed. You deserved it. So, you know, it was amazing for me.
And this is a big weekend for you, right? Graduation tomorrow?
Yeah, graduation tomorrow. Big, big weekend. I don't think I had a big weekend like this since probably coming out of high school, announcing where I was going for football then, so.
So to be put on scholarship and to graduate all in the same week, can you put into words what that means to you?
Honestly, just dedication, like staying down and working hard, like and having a good support system behind me and getting me where I need to be to do what I did. And I just, you know, my mom and my dad, they've been my main source of energy going through all this. So, you know, without them, I probably wouldn't have been able to make it as far as I did.
For you being an in-state guy, what has this meant to you, your journey at Auburn?
It's a dream come true. I've been an Auburn fan since I came out. and it's just seems so unreal. Even when I'm here now, it still doesn't feel as real. Like, as it seems. When I first got here and I met all these cool guys, Coach Cadillac Williams, and I got to be around all these superstar people, I was in shell shock. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I cannot believe these are my teammates, these are my coaches. It was just an amazing experience.
Do you guys keep in contact with, I don't know how much you've been able to talk to maybe Brian or his family over the past few months?
Oh, yeah. We have a group text and we all text him and everything, and he's doing a lot better now. We're all happy to hear about him and his recovery. So.
Talk about just your approach. You got to go to work and work butt off all the time. It's going to be tough to get playing time here. Just talk about your mindset and what you're trying to get out of this, just in general.
So when I came in, I had a lot to prove. Not just to myself, but to a lot of people from my childhood, growing up. And it's always been in the back of my mind when I was told when I was younger that there's not a lot of things that a person of my stature would be able to do, especially being a tall running back. It's been a difficult journey trying to get me to move to different positions, but I stayed down and stayed true to myself. And I had a lot to prove, and I came and I did that, and I still got more to go. So.
And that's Justin Jones, as he had a few minutes with the media as well. So some good stuff from today. Man, we saved Jarquez. Got a lot of him we can let you hear at some point. But wanted to let you hear some of the players from today. As, you know, it hasn't gotten into the drudgery of fall yet. Just a couple of days in, they will start putting on the pads here next week. And I would expect by next Saturday, it will be scrimmage time.
Oh yeah, I think that'll be fan day on the 10th, and
right.
I would think Auburn's gonna maybe two Saturday scrimmages, maybe.
Usually, I mean, there are a couple.
Yeah, I would think I mean, that
they're still trying to determine, you know, who gets the yellow jerseys.
And there are some guys who maybe don't, you know, there are some guys they feel good about, you know, don't how much they don't need that much contact.
Jarquez, did you hear Jarquez? Jarquez said he wants the contact.
Yeah, oh, he loves
it. He doesn't want to be held out.
Well, this is a guy, and that, you know what, that was what led to my question. Are you done as a special teamer? And he said, no, I'm not. And I think part of that's because that
wants to be out there more.
That quest absolutely. For contact, absolutely.
Fun stuff today. Our thanks to Jake Crane joining us and everybody listening in today on the Friday Drive. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com will be in with us on Monday. We'll see if Auburn doesn't have another commitment or two to be talking about and get his thoughts from the first few days of practice as well. But we're out of time here on the Friday Drive. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.